Broadcasting Network welcomes you to the Bill Kemp Show, featuring the talents of Betty Holt, Peter Hanley, the Noteworthies, and the music of Neil Hefti and his orchestra. I'm George Hansbrough, and here's our Bill Kemp.
Thank you. Well, incidentally, all the jokes tonight are new, unless, of course, you've heard them before. And you got to remind me a little later to tell you about this woman. She bought the large economy flask of Poof deodorant and blew her arm off. Before I forget, I hate these guys who laugh at their own material. I can't stand them. I mentioned on the show about a week or so ago that I have a pet boxer dog by the name of Alex. And I further mentioned, I think, that I'm having an awful time trying to teach him not to chase after automobiles. And I got a letter from a woman in Encino, California, who said in her letter, "You're fighting a losing battle attempting to teach him this because every boxer dog chases after automobiles." And I know that, ma'am, but Alex catches them, you see. We have an awful problem at our place. However, neither here nor there, and certainly not apropos of the next number. Betty Holt is at the front and center at the mic. Oh! Well, you know, it's cheap popcorn. Does it every time. Here's Betty to sing "I'm Alone Because I Love You."
I'm alone because I love you. Love you with all of my heart. I'm alone because I had to be true. Sorry, I can't say the same about you. Yesterday's kisses are bringing me pain. Yesterday's sunshine has turned into rain. Well, I'm alone because I love you. Love you with all my heart. I'm alone because I love you. Love you with all my heart.
All right. Very nice, Betty. Hey, Betty, tell me more about this new boyfriend you've acquired, kiddo.
Oh, Bill, he's divine.
Uh-huh. What does he look like?
Oh, he's so big and strong, and he's got arms like piston rods and shoulders like freight trains and the strength of a diesel locomotive.
That's very interesting. What track does he leave on? Sounds like a wonderful guy. There she is. I can't see her from the piano. It's blocking me here. Cutest little thing sitting down here. 4.5 years old, she tells me. This is an awful hour for her to be out. That's all I can say. Get a bottle for that child. Do you have a bottle with you, Mommy? Ask her father. He's probably got one. What did you say? All right, let's see now. It probably isn't her birthday, but we'll sing. Children that age always love birthday songs. Here, then, are the Noteworthies to sing "Happy, Happy Birthday, Baby."
My baby,
I
how could we say goodbye? Hope I didn't spoil your birthday. Though I'm acting foolish, maybe. So I'll close this note to you with good luck and wishes too. Happy, happy birthday, baby. Happy, happy birthday, baby. Though I'm acting foolish, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, many voters think that their congressmen do not spend enough time representing them in Washington. Yes, some voters become suspicious simply because when they write to their congressman in Washington, the letter is returned marked, addressee unknown here. Try the Hot Shot Club, Miami 20, Florida. However, the overwhelming majority of congressmen are extremely conscientious, and to show the voters in their home districts just how extremely conscientious they are, many congressmen have been making weekly recorded reports, which are later played over local radio stations. So now, we bring you the weekly recorded report of Representative J. Wellington Forbush. Representative Forbush's informal chat with his constituents is entitled, My Extremely Conscientious and Devoted to You, My Constituents, Week in Washington.
Now introducing Representative J. Wellington Forbush, Congressman of the 16th District, 13th Precinct, 10th Ward, and 2nd Floor Rear.
I've been up here fighting for you, friend.
And now, Congressman...
I just wanted to get that in, keep the record straight.
Now, Congressman...
They've been trying to put something over on you, all you good voters of the 16th District, 13th Precinct, 10th Ward, 2nd Floor Rear. But I've been holding them off. If they fight you, they fight me, friend.
Thank you, Congressman.
It was only yesterday. I marched right over to the State Department. I looked them right in the eye, and I said to them, whatever happened to Uruguay? Uruguay's been pretty quiet lately. I think there's something fishy about it.
If you're ready, Congressman.
I don't mind it so much when Belgium's quiet, because the Belgians are a naturally soft-spoken people. But when Uruguay's quiet, I want to know why.
Thank you, Congressman. And now we come to our weekly feature, Congressman J. Wellington Forbush answers his mail.
You sure do.
Our first letter reads, quote, Dear Congressman, why don't we have an aircraft factory in our district? I am a young girl, 16 years old, with a nice smile, and I like to tinker.
That's a good question. It's one that needed asking, too.
Now, for our second question, quote, Dear Congressman, in taking my daily long walk, which I enjoy tremendously, I've noticed that we have no federal fish hatchery in our congressional district. Is this an unpardonable oversight or a well-thought-out fraud on the voters? Signed, still walking but ever watchful.
Well, yes. Now, in answer to that question, I refer my civic-minded constituent to my insertion in the congressional record entitled Loose Management of Federal Fish Hatcheries and My Thoughts On.
And now here's a question on foreign affairs. This foreign affairs question reads, quote, Dear Congressman, don't you think Tito is a little pudgy?
Yes, I certainly do. I'm glad you asked that question. This past summer, I had the honor of making a European trip along with other members of my committee, and I noticed that Tito is definitely a little pudgy. I might also say right here and now, if I may, that he looks as if he could use a haircut, too.
Well, now, Congressman, that's all the time we have for this report of your home congressional district. Now just time for one final word.
Friends of my home congressional district, just remember this. If you don't register, you can't vote. Now, even if you don't intend to vote for me, register anyway. But then don't vote, whatever you do. All right. And the Star of Love. I tell you. Pretty sick outfit.
Ah, they're good. You'll have to be in the orchestra there. Got a letter from a friend of mine. He's, I'll be quite honest with you. He's, guy all his life. He wanted a house, a private house with a nice big fence around it, you know. He's got it all right. He's an Alcatraz. He's a nice kid, though. Sticky Fingers Hennessy, and he writes to me all the time. And, I think he got actually a kind of a stiff sentence for what happened. I mean, after all, you know, 30 years in jail and 2 years in the electric chair. I think it's a bit stiff. But he tells me in his letter they're having a special contest up there, around there, over there, I should say, at Alcatraz for the long-term prisoners there. They have to finish a sentence in 25 years or less. Kind of interesting. And what does Elsie say in his letter here? He says, as lately there's been an epidemic here, Bill, in the jail. During the past month, 7 prisoners broke out with hacksaws. That's understandable, I suppose. He's a little worried. Apparently, the warden asked him the other day which he preferred, AC or DC. He says, does that mean anything? No, I don't think I wouldn't worry about it. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, Peter Hanley. Oh, say, Peter Hanley. Thank you. And where are you working next week? Now, Peter Hanley has a record on the market, I'm happy to say, and a darn good one, too. One that he wrote himself, the tune, I should say. So here's Pete to sing it for you now, live, like they say, from New York. Rock and roll polka, Pete.
The band starts to play, get your partner right away.
They're rocking to the rock and roll polka.
Clap your hands, stamp your feet to the rhythm of the beat.
When you're rocking to the rock and roll polka,
it's really very simple. Here is all you have to know. You hop and rock and roll, and then you holler, go, go, go. The sensation, the shake in the nation, the rompin', stompin' rock and roll polka.
This is Jim Amici. Sideswiping's a common type of traffic accident, and the excuses are just as common. He was hogging the road, says one driver about another, or it was raining hard, I couldn't see well, and so on and so on. But what are the real causes of such accidents? Cause? Poor judgment of clearance. Remedy? Allow a safety margin and drive within the limits of sure judgment. Cause? Lack of forethought. Remedy? Be alert. Cause, plain lack of control. Remedy, a new attitude toward your responsibility as a driver. Sideswipe excuses are a dime a dozen, but they're no good at any price, and the cost may be very high. Don't look for excuses. Look for ways to avoid traffic trouble. And always remember, safety check your car and double check your driving.
Thank you. camp calling again as we go into the home stretch, and I've just found out this little girl down here. That's your child, eh, Jeff? Trombonist here in our orchestra. Did you bring him his snowshoes or whatever he wanted? Since he's going to Utica or something, I was supposed to announce it on the air. Speaking of little children, this 8-year-old Claudia was packed off to Waterbury, Connecticut, to visit her old maid aunt, and her last-minute instructions from her mummy were this. She said, now look, remember, Aunt Hester is a little bit on the prissy side, you know, so if you have to go to the bathroom, be sure to say I'd like to powder my nose. Well, little Claudia, she paid attention to all this, and she made such a hit with Aunt Hester that when the time came for her to leave, Aunt Hester said to her, I just loved having you here, my dear. On your next visit, you must bring your little sister Sue with you. And Claudia said, well, I don't think I'd better. You see, Sue still powders her nose in bed. Now, let's see. Speaking of young children, here's an appropriate number. Bye-bye, baby.
Bye, baby, bye. I gotta go, it's getting late. I said, bye, baby, bye. I'm gonna hop an ocean freight. Oh, I'm tired of running every time you call. So bye, bye. Thanks for nothing at all. Oh, cry, baby, cry. I won't miss you when I'm gone. And you can weep, baby, weep. Pardon me, I'm moving on. I won't get lonesome when I'm counting sheep. So farewell, now it's easy to sleep. You get joy out of letting me know that it's up to me to pursue ya. How can I tell if you love me too? But don't tell me, baby, don't you, or do ya? Hi, baby, hi, when did you come in the door? Oh, my baby, my, did you knock one time or more? Tell me who's kidding who, leave me on the shelf. Forgive me, I was talking to myself. Hi, baby, hi, when did you come in the door? Oh, my baby, my, did you knock one time or more? Tell me who's kidding who, leave me on your shelf. Forgive me, forgive me, I was only talking to myself. Bye-bye, y'all. Hurry back soon, you hear?
Hey. Man, what a singer, eh? What a singer. Peter Hanley, of course. Betty Holt is back at the microphone now, and her contribution at this point is a very special love.
A very special reason for a very special love. We don't need to speak a word till each word is heard. That's a very special reason.
What a girl. You got a terrific kick out. Did you see the look on Jim Flynn, our sound man, when Betty was singing there? First time I ever seen eyeballs turn into bomb sights.
Seems to be enjoyed by all is when a motion picture star comes on to plug his or her latest movie. People like to see and hear the star and also find out what that star is doing. So tonight, we present to you a personality in what we call a plug interview. In other words, this person has something to plug, be it a record, a movie, or a personal appearance tour. We know you like this sort of thing, so we went to great trouble to find a personality who would like to come on the show and plug something in which they're involved. We did not, however, manage to get a famous personality, but we did get a personality. Welcome to the show, Mr. Horace T. Mulch of New York City.
Scraping with you is on the show here. I like it.
Now, Mr. Mulch, you are, as some of us know, under contract presently to Con Edison Productions, are you not?
Yes. Dig we must, but not long we trust. You bet your boy.
Well, yeah. I suppose you're here on the show to plug your latest excavation?
Yes, that's correct. I just had the pleasure of digging a hole and appearing with Dominic Tomasetti, Bruno DiBiase, Fiorelli Bombardini, and Max Schultz. We were in a big extravaganza on 72nd Street and Broadway right here in the city.
Well, now, how long did it take you to film this picture? Dig this hole.
Well, we've been on location there for about 3 months now. It takes time, you know. You know how it is, digging a hole. The foreman holds up his hands and he yells, shovels, picks, action. And you dig a small section, and if you don't like it, he's liable to yell, cut. And you got to fill it in and start digging all over again.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, how early do you get up when you're working on a hole?
Oh, well, I usually get to the wardrobe about 7 in the morning, and I slip into my dungarees, and then it's onto the street, and then another day's work under the bright lights.
Will people be able to see this hole? How soon will it be released?
Oh, well, we're figuring on releasing it in about a week. I should say traffic may start falling into it about a week's time. We're also planning to dig holes just like this in front of your favorite neighborhood theater. So, friends, be sure to come down. It's all in color, you know.
Well, I certainly want to thank you very much for taking time out from a very busy personal appearance schedule to come down here tonight and plug the hole.
Well, thank you. I'd plug the hole. That's a funny line. Hey, the comedian, this guy, he should drop dead. I'd just like to mention my co-stars on this project, without whom this hole would not have been possible. Our excellent pitch blender, Cedric Bloomberg. Our hydraulic drill man, Jerky Jacobson. And all the thousands of people in cars and trucks who have been honking their horns and making my work so much more enjoyable. I couldn't have dug it alone, and I know it. It's the guys behind the scenes that made this hole possible.
Well, thank you, Horace, for being with us tonight. And by the way, do you know what your next big extravaganza might be?
Well, I'm not supposed to say anything, but I have been offered a digging part in a remake of one of the all-time classics, The Digging of Times Square.
Well, that's big. That's just wonderful. We'll be looking forward to it.
How about Stella?
You just go right out through that door.
Over there?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Careful!
Why do they put up signs when they're digging? It ain't safe to walk in the streets anymore.
Poor devil.
All right, now we got a wild arrangement coming up for you, a real great Neil Heffy arrangement involving all the kids here on stage and that wonderful old song, Chicago. Neil? Up that arrangement. Well, friends, that about brings us to wrap-up time for tonight. Now, you've heard, of course, from Betty Holt, Peter Hanley, and the Noteworthies. Our orchestra was under the direction of Neil Hefty of the Park Avenue and Newport, Rhode Island Hefties. Our director, Alfred Coughlin, was under the direction of Mrs. Alfred Coughlin of the Nyack Coughlins. The script was written by Rhubarb Kipling, and the choreography was by Agnes DeMille.
Bill Kemp Show has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.